Welcome to Language Access is No Vitamin, an essential podcast for those shaping the future of healthcare in America. Let's transform our healthcare system from seeing language access as an optional vitamin to the cure of patient-centered care. Welcome to Language Access is No Vitamin. Empecemos. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Language Access is No Vitamin. Today, I have a special guest with me. We're going to be talking about pharmacy, pharmaceuticals, and how that industry plays a role in important breaking barriers for LEPs and other individuals who need language access. So let me introduce to you Ms. Charlotte Glass. So Charlotte was born and raised in Illinois. She earned a master's degree in pastoral ministry from St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota, and spent several years in marriage and family life ministry and faith formation before moving to the disability healthcare sector. For the last 19 years, she has worked with Envision America, which provides pharmacies and audible large print, braille, and translated prescription label solutions. In her current role, she strives to bring about greater accessibility through public policy, community outreach, and education. She has also experienced navigating the healthcare system as a mother of six children with autism, type 1 diabetes, mental health, and autoimmune conditions. Her earliest memory of language barriers was her Norwegian great-grandmother commenting that God couldn't hear her unless she prayed in Norwegian. So let me welcome Charlotte Glass.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, Charla. I am so happy that you're here with me today. How is it going?
It's great. Yeah, it's going really great this spring. We have a lot going on, so I'm glad to be here and talk about language access with you.
Absolutely. I am so happy that you're here. We had a conversation, I think like a year ago, right? That we connected, and I learned a little bit about what you do at Envision America, and I love it. I show it to some of my clients about other opportunities, and you know, I'm very happy that you're here to spread the word, because I feel like when we talk about healthcare and language access, a lot of us really focus on that patient provider encounter, and we tend to forget about everything that happens before and after. And one of the big things that happen after is the pharmacy. It's a very, very big barrier that a lot of individuals that need language access, have, because we don't understand our regulations. We don't understand our rights, the duties that this pharmacist have. So there's a lot of unknowns when it comes to that. So I'm very happy that you're here.
Thanks. Yes. There's so much that goes into it and providing the safety of patients in that sector. So
all right, let's get started. So I know your first language access experience was with your grandmother. So tell me a little bit, what brought you from ministry work into, supporting communities, the late language access, and specifically, why the pharmacy world?
Well, I mean, I wasn't an intentional shift. We moved and I was looking for a new job and got put into this position through a placement service, and my boss didn't know my background at all, and I really didn't know anything about their startup, but it ended up being a really great match, and passionate about helping people. So I just kind of jokingly say, instead of spreading the gospel of Jesus, now I spread the gospel of script talk. So but it's a I really am passionate about helping people, increase their safety and be able to communicate better with their pharmacist, and, just have that effective communication that the ADA and civil rights laws really have made the groundwork for,
So tell me a little bit more about those laws. Let's talk about regulations. So what are some of the regulations that, in healthcare, of course, but specifically the pharmaceutical industry has when it comes to language access?
Yeah, so really that it all began with the civil rights movement, but There have also been several executive orders over the years to increase language access. And then we saw a really big leap forward with the Affordable Care Act and Section 1557, which really concretized a lot of the disability rights and language access issues in healthcare specifically. And it gives the Department of Health and Human Services a little bit more authority to, to create rules and oversee the implementation of those services in the healthcare industry.
Yes. So those are the ones that normally, you know, the healthcare as a whole industry. Are there any other additional regulations or policies specific to the pharmacy industry? For example, you know, like hospitals and clinics, they have, you know, the Joint Commission or HRSA, that it's an additional, you know, regulatory body. What are those, if there are any, that are additional or very specific for the pharmacy industry?
For pharmacy, as far as laws go, I'm not sure there really are a lot of additional ones beyond civil rights and ADA. But there are, like, the U.S. Pharmacopoeia has certain standards that the majority of pharmacies try and abide by. And there are language access standards that are included in that, both in providing service and in labeling, which is, you know, what we really focus on at Envision America. So, you know, that the standards of the industry are really what I'm working on and what a lot of people are, what we're striving for, you know, is to increase those standards that go beyond what the technical laws are. And then, of course, the Section 1557 was just updated. There's new rules that were just updated just a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So those are going to be just, people are still unpacking what those rule changes are going to mean. But we do know that it means more accountability and more language access.
Yes, I know. I'm still working on them. Soon I want to be having a whole podcast on that, a lot of explanation, because there's a lot of questions when it comes to that. And when we talk about these regulations that, you know, through policy, the things that you would like to see, what are some of those changes that you would like, you know, to see? What are some of those areas that we should be improving and striving to improve through regulations or laws?
Yeah, so I think like a really great reference would be the National Class or Culture and Language Services.
Cultural and Linguistic.
Yeah.
Just froze, hold on. Cultural and Linguistic Appropriate. Oh my God, this is like my one thing, hold on. Cultural and Linguistic Appropriate Services Standards.
Thank you.
Like, I promote them all the time and I just blinked.
So the... if you go to thinkculturalhealth.gov, that's the website where there's a listed. And I really think that this is something that we could implement more. And then the reason is because those standards are really about how does healthcare implement services. And by that, I mean having a policy, having procedures in place, having someone who oversees those procedures, and then having a method of evaluating them and then making the changes necessary as those, you know, based upon those evaluations, but also having processes in place as your demographics change. How do you change your services? So I think that's something that we could see in the pharmacy industry, is having policies and procedures in place. Because what I find is that a lot of pharmacists that we talk to, the pharmacists themselves, who are the employees of the pharmacies, want to provide the best service to their patients. They want to meet these people where they're at, but they don't have the tools. And so the pharmacy industry having those policies and procedures in place would give, you know, and the tools like access to interpretation services, access to translation, access to dual language prescription labels, giving them the tools to be able to serve their patients the way they want to, is essential.
Yeah. And I think, like, in my personal opinion, is that the pharmacy, out of all the different like healthcare settings, I feel like is the one that needs more work when it comes to language access. And I say that because, like you're saying, I don't think that they are provided with the tools that they need. I rarely see places that offer language and that offer the interpreting, right? When it comes to interpretation, they may have it. I've never actually seen anybody actually use one. So there's a big barrier. And I know, like, the focus of, you know, what Envisu is doing is, you know, the labels, which is huge, very, very huge. And we're going to get to that. But I want to talk about everything, all the barriers before we're actually able to see our medication and get those labels, right? So we're looking at, and please add on, right? Like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, like, the text. We're not even talking about the pharmacist. We're talking about the text that work there. All the issues that LEP, especially when we're talking about immigrants, have with insurance, their names. So I know with my mom, it's always a problem because she has three last names, right? So the doctor might send the prescription with one or two or all three of the last names, and then the insurance wants all three. So let's simplify it and talk in the case of Latinos that they have two last names. So you will send it with, you know, let's say, Perez and Sanchez, right? So you can be Perez Sanchez, and then the doctor sends a prescription of Sanchez, but then the insurance has you as Perez Sanchez, but then the pharmacy has you as Perez, and then they don't combine. And in addition to the issue within the whole health record, right, that they're not matching, there's the issue of if the tech doesn't speak the other language, how are you going to communicate the problem? Like, no, you know, we need to call the insurance, and what's happening here? So, or if you, you know, all these barriers just by being able to get your insurance to approve your medication. And then in addition to that, if you have questions about your medication that are not just in the label, they don't have interpreters to really provide that and answer extra questions if they don't have somebody that speaks the other language. And realistically, you can have, you know, techs and pharmacists that speak all the language that you're going to be providing at a pharmacy. What are some of the barriers that you see?
And I can see an easy solution to that is incorporating into the software fields for the various names. Like, I'm sure there's, I don't know them personally, but there's an actual reason and a name for each of the last names, right? So why don't we just incorporate that? Because there's so many people that have that, you know, or even if not, like, have your maiden name and your surname. So that could easily be solved by having more fields available, as well as having a field checked, you know, needs language access or is visually impaired, so that the pharmacist isn't surprised when someone comes to the counter and needs additional services. So that's one thing. You know, and also another barrier that I was informed of is, you know, there's a lot of people who maybe are fluent even in English, but they don't read. You know, and there's a lot of immigrants and refugees, especially women, who were never allowed to learn to read. And so they might have learned some English, but they were never allowed to learn to read. So they're still having that barrier of, you know, they might need an audible label, because even if you give them a translated prescription label, they still can't read it.
I love that you mentioned that, because that is a big barrier that we have as well. Because, yes, like, we're looking at a lot of immigrants, you know, then they speak another language, like, yeah, they might be able to speak it, but, you know, writing and reading, it's a whole different thing. A lot of immigrants come with no or very low education, like formal education. And then that is a barrier. Like, it's great that you're providing everything in, you know, in the other language, but who's going to read that, right? So there's a lot of different components that language access really addresses beyond that basic, you know, communication that we're having. That's a great example.
And I mean, that goes also for the deaf community, because a lot of them, ASL might be their first language, which has a different grammatical structure than printed English. So even giving them a printed label, I've heard, can sometimes be a problem. I haven't quite found a solution, though, for that. How do you get an ASL, you know, maybe a digital label or something? I don't know yet, but I think
there's some videos, right? Like a scannable video, and you can just watch a video that has a neurodivergent person. I mean, I don't know. We're just explaining the problems.
Barriers that we, you know, we don't even think of because that's not our everyday. So I think, you know, there's barriers too when you just walk in the door. You know, is the path to the pharmacy accessible? Are there tons of things in the aisle for a blind person to trip over? Is there adequate signage to make it easy to find the pharmacy? Is there signage that says, hey, language access services are available in the language that I can read? Because if you just have that signed in English, that's not very helpful. For the blind, we've said, you know, you really have to ask people if they need something. Because if you have a sign that says, hey, we have special labels for the blind and visually impaired, but they're blind and visually impaired, they can't see that sign. So, you know, you literally have to ask them. And so, you know, those are a lot of the different barriers. And another one is that people in both these segments often have somebody else pick up their prescriptions. So they actually are not communicating directly with their pharmacist. Someone's picking it up or they're having it mailed. And then they just get the stuff in whatever language and format it's in.
It makes a lot of sense. And a lot of the reasons why they don't even pick up the prescriptions is because of all the barriers. Like, I know my mom all the time is like, can you just go to the pharmacy? I don't want to deal with it because it's always an issue. So, and then of course, they can't drive. So it's a lot of,
and that's good for both of them too, because, you know, a lot of people don't have their driver's license yet, whether they're blind or they're, you know, newly in the United States, or maybe you've been here for a while and it's just like not the top thing on your priority yet to get that. And I'm sure there's many driver's license bureaus that are not accessible either. So
let's start focusing a little bit more into the labels. So the first question that I would have for you is, okay, so like we said, a lot of individuals don't pick up their own prescriptions for, you know, multiple reasons. So, but of course the prescription labels need to be in another language. Let's say, you know, French, right? So if I have to go pick up this medication for my French friend, and they need, you know, the labels in French, who will be the person, or ideally, who should be responsible for telling the pharmacist that the labels need to be done in French? Would it be the provider that should be sending the information and saying, hey, by the way, this person speaks this language? Or should it be, you know, my responsibility and be like, hey, by the way, I need these labels in French? Systematically, where ideally should start this?
Well, I mean, it would be lovely if the provider would inform the pharmacist. And I think more and more health systems are including that information in their electronic health records that they share, but it's not a universal standard yet. So while you can ask your provider to put that information on there, everyone's going to have to advocate for themselves and ask for that service. And hopefully pharmacists can indicate something in the record, so you don't have to do that every single time. But what we have found with our patients is that you need to advocate for yourself every single time, because you don't know a lot. There's a lot of pharmacist turnover. There's a lot of people who haven't been trained yet, maybe on their system. There might be a substitute that day. So it's always best to be prepared to advocate for yourself. Call ahead of time. Say, hey, when I get there, I'm going to need an interpreter. I'm going to need a translated prescription label. I'm going to need an audible prescription label, or whatever it is that you need. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But, you know, even if they have policies and procedures in place, nothing's foolproof, you know.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Unfortunately, that is the job of a lot of individuals that need language access. We have to be our own advocates or our family's advocates. It's an extra task that the system puts on us until, you know, hopefully in the future will be better. But okay, so tell me what Envision America is doing to support patients that are blind, that speak other languages? Like, how are you going? Because I feel like you are going beyond just the simple, here is the label in your other language, have fun with it. So tell me a little bit more about how Envision America is supporting language access.
Well, I mean, we did start out working with the blind and visually impaired, primarily with the VA and helping blind veterans get access to the prescription label information through Audible prescription labels. So it's an RFID tag, and the pharmacy can program that tag with all the prescription label information. And then they can use their smartphone or a standalone device that's no cost to the patient to have that information read out loud to them. So then we also have large print options, and the large print option is also where we do our dual language label. So not just the translated information, but dual language, so that the bottle has information for, EMS, or if you have another care provider that doesn't speak your native language, we want to make sure that all that legal label information is on there in English as well. So, and then we have Braille labels. And so that's kind of what we do. That's our product. We have software that allows pharmacies to create all this, all these different label options. The pharmacies can choose which label options they want to provide, and how they're going to provide them. So we just kind of give them the tools to do that, and then they can integrate it into their existing system how they want. So they have a lot of flexibility. We have some pharmacies that do all of the label options, and then we have some that do only Audible. We have a few that do the large print and translation service. So there's a lot of flexibility in there. And what we really try and specialize is plug and play. So for a small independent pharmacy, you can get our software, you can get a programmer, and same day, within just a few minutes, you can be making Audible prescription labels or translated prescription labels, whatever you need, or both, because we can, there's many languages that we can make an Audible label in. So, just within a few minutes. It doesn't have to be a complicated thing. Although there are some pharmacies that are like, we want to make it complicated, we want it all integrated. And so, we do work with other pharmacy software companies to make sure that it gets integrated when people want it integrated into their workflow. So
I love that. So basically what we're looking at is, let's say somebody who is a senior, right? So they might not be blind, but they have a little bit of hard time. So we'll be able to get a prescription with large print so that it can read easily. And it can be in both languages, English and let's say Korean. And then also there will be an opportunity for them to scan it and listen to what the label is saying in Korean and or English, correct? So that way they'll be able to, cover all bases, right? If you need, your glasses, you can read it easily. If you need it to give it to your friend who doesn't speak Korean, you can have it in English. But then also, if you don't know how to read, or, you just want to listen, because sometimes some people understand better by listening than by reading, they have the option to just listen to whatever the label says, all into the same prescription bottle, right?
Right, right.
Without extra costs for the patient. That's important, right?
Right, exactly. And according to the ADA and Civil Rights Movement, of course, you can't charge extra for a basic human right. And that's actually something that's come up a lot in the legislative hearings that I've been a part of in the states that they're trying to do legislation, is the pharmacies feel like it's a special service sometimes. We're like, no. This is a basic human right. You can't charge extra for it. It's you're not doing them a favor. This is like critical safety information. So
I feel like all healthcare looks at it. Like, that's why it's not a vitamin, right? Because it's right. Not like a nice thing to have. But so what is the response, the pitch sell from Envision, that, how do pharmacies absorb this cost? Because of course it has an extra cost. It's extra work. It takes longer. It has extra tools. Whatever it is, always an extra cost. Just like having an interpreter, right? They also have to have an interpreter in line. at all pharmacies. So how do we explain to, you know, the owners or the bigger companies of pharmacies or even the pharmacists, like, why, like, how would you, you know, absorb this cost and still be, you know, cost effective for you to do this, besides the fact that, you know, it's a law, you don't really have an option. But, you know, looking at money, how do we explain this to, you know, them?
Yeah. I mean, I usually just try and say, listen, it's a cost of doing business, and you weren't doing it before, but that doesn't change that it's a cost of doing business. So we don't charge people extra for using a wheelchair ramp or an automatic opening door or grab bars in the bathroom. And you certainly don't charge sighted people to have overhead lighting, which does no good for blind people. you know, so I'm like, these are all things that you just consider a cost of doing business. So you need to add this into that column and not look at it as a per patient cost, because a lot of times they want to be like, well, I'm losing money on each prescription. And we're like, no, you can't look at it like that. You know, you don't charge people per person who comes into your door for the electricity that you're using that day. Like, this is just a cost of doing business. But on the other hand, we can say, listen, we know how much time that you put into taking care of each of your patients. And these patients who have additional communication needs, you're spending a lot of time on them. They call in more frequently. They need you to walk them through stuff. You have to do more counter counseling. They're on their medications longer. They're less likely to be compliant. All because of the challenges of not being able to have access to that information. So in the long run, it saves the pharmacy time and money to provide the label. And in the long run for our society, it saves us money because, you know, each visit to the ER is at least $10,000 that's coming out of, you know, our Medicaid or Medicare or insurance industry. And so a large percentage of ER visits are based upon medication errors. So if we can prevent those, you know, we're saving money in the healthcare industry as a whole, right there. So,
I mean, the answer is healthcare should not be a business, but okay.
Well, there's that too.
But, yeah, I love what you're saying, because another thing is, like, another way of looking at it is, if you are the pharmacy, the local pharmacy, right, that is providing the service in a culturally linguistically appropriate way, you're going to be having more business, because a lot of the things is like, yes, people might go for the pharmacy, but on your way to the pharmacy, you know, you're getting other products, or, you know, you're getting a lot of, you know, oh, I forgot this for dinner, or let me get this thing that I need at home. So you'll see an increase of sales in the other things that will bring you, you know, that money that you are, you know, losing by having that extra, you know, extra work. So there's other ways around.
And let's be honest, I mean, it's a business. Everybody has the right to choose what pharmacy they go to. And the best patient care are the pharmacies that patients stay at. You know, I stay at my pharmacy, even though it might be slightly more expensive, because their service is so good. I mean, my pharmacist greets me by name. She knows who I am. She knows, you know, everything about all the medications my family takes. And I'm going to stay there because it's personal service. And so I think, you know, it might be, you know, there might be that learning curve for a lot of pharmacists to get to know these patients, because there is that communication barrier, but all the more important, right? So that you can gain their business, you can establish that relationship. And overall, I mean, most pharmacists go into pharmacy because they really care about people and they want them to be healthy. So you can better do that when you can communicate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm thinking about, you know, earlier, a little before they become pharmacists, right? Let's talk about education. So one of the things that I'm doing at Culturizing Access is I'm starting to work with medical schools and nursing schools, because I feel like it's easier for me to tell somebody how to do things right from the beginning than going into somebody and be like, this is what you've been doing wrong for 30 years. But it's not just medical students or PAs or nurses. It's also pharmacists and dental. So I know, for example, over 50% of dental students say that they never got any education on language access, which is horrible, because they all see eventually you will always see one patient, right? So when it comes to that, do you know if, you know, in pharmacy, we see this? They don't get education on, you know, language access, do they? I mean, you know.
Well, actually, based upon the number of students that call me for more information, I think there are a lot that actually are. So that's really good, you know, and we've seen that increase over the number of years. More and more disability and cultural access classes included. We know whether it's just, you know, a couple weeks worth or an entire semester is that could be improved, but still, I don't think it's universal yet, but it definitely is increasing lately.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So how, I have two more questions before, you know, we started to wrap up. How would, you know, a pharmacist be able to like advocate? Like how would you suggest for them to talk to their superiors and be like, listen, we need a language access time. Listen, we need, you know, labels that can, you know, speak. Well, how, what's the correct term for this, for the labels that talk?
I don't know, audible prescription labels?
Audible prescription, there you go. It's been a long day. Audible prescription labels. So how could, you know, they, you know, advocate for this in their workplace? Is there any suggestions that you could have for somebody that works in the pharmacy and be like, listen, we need to improve this?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of pharmacists do go up to bat for their patients and say, you know, like, hey, we have this communication need and what are we doing about it? Or what policies do we have? Like, do we already even have a policy in place? And why isn't it being implemented here? Because there actually are a lot of pharmacies that have the policy, but the pharmacists don't know it. And then, you know, it doesn't get handed down. So, you know, actually having those conversations is important. And then I think like managers and regional managers, store managers can certainly say, you know, we're going to add this, some training into our annual training. There are some boards of pharmacy in different states that have required some cultural access education and disability education. So, you know, as part of like the continuing education credits, like they have to have so many credits in these different categories. So that's certainly something that the whole industry can continue to improve on. And making sure that people are getting continuing education in that, because none of us are ever going to know everything. So we should always be continually learning about it.
So. Absolutely. Lifelong learners. I love that term. I always describe myself as one of those. My last question for you would be, when it comes to policies, what do you see? What's been, you know, being spoken about to improve language access? Especially in the industry, is there anything coming down the pipe that you're excited about or something that you would like to see? Anything?
So much. So what I've noticed over the years is, you know, with like the ADA and the Civil Rights Law, there's like Title 1, 2, 3. So we start at the federal government and then we see changes at the state level and then finally down into public businesses and stuff like that. And so what we're really seeing a lot right now in language access is a lot of states and at the state and county level implementing language access offices and language access boards where they're really asking the questions of how can we better meet the needs. And so I think since we're seeing that going across throughout the United States, many, many states doing that, then the next tier will be, you know, the public sector, and it's kind of the trickle down thing. So I think we're going to continue to see the boards of pharmacy and different states adding statutes that say, you know, this is how we're going to provide language access in our state, and this is how we're going to do it, you know, in pharmacy industry. So we have seen that a lot with the access for the blind and visually impaired over the last 5 years. There's about 5 states that have passed legislation. This legislative season, like this spring, we've seen 8 different states propose legislation. So far, Virginia has passed, and there's about 4 other bills that are just waiting for those final steps. So I'm really hoping that those pass. And We've seen several states pass language access in the pharmacy laws. Oregon has one of the best bills out there. New York and California have some very basic bills. And then Washington is working on some rules with their Board of Pharmacy. Nevada passed a law, though that one, the rules didn't really get put into place. So it's kind of a kind of in limbo right now, whether it's enforced or not, but there is a law. And so, I'm seeing more and more people ask this question, and I think we're going to see the public policy side of it and grow.
I love that. I love that. I advocate for that for sure. It makes me very excited when we're starting to look at, because the reality is that, in my point of view, that it would be nice if businesses would do things because they're the right thing, but a lot of them don't, and they like to cut corners. And unfortunately, language access is one of those corners, unless there are regulations and legislative rules that make them do.
There's
But
that, but also when you have a public policy or you have a statute, it helps the board and it helps the pharmacies to know what policies and procedures they should put into place. Because what I have found is that when these laws have passed, the Board of Pharmacy is at a loss. Like, how do we do this? What options are available? What are the needs? Like, this is not their realm. So this is something that's really new to them. So the policies and procedures and the state statutes, those are actually helpful for them. And then it helps them to know, what's expected of them. And it helps patients to know what they have the right to ask for as well.
absolutely. Puts everybody on the same playing field, right? Everybody understands what's happening, and everybody, can understand their rights and their duties as well. So I love that. All right. So Charla, I like to, ask all my guests, the title of the podcast is Language Access is No Vitamin. So what does it mean for you that language access is not a vitamin?
It's not a vitamin. I mean, it's a basic essential need. So, it's so essential to have effective communication with your pharmacist and to know about your medications, drug information, things that could kill you or save your life, depending on how you take them. So it's definitely not a vitamin. This is true medication.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's go ahead and do our myth of the day. All right. So our myth of the day is being blind is an easy to recognize disability. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so I really encounter a lot of people who think that all blind people have a seeing eye dog or have a cane, or that they read Braille. But the truth is, the majority of people who are blind have some sort of vision, or are visually impaired, and they don't have any recognizable features. So they might even be able to read a little bit or see something that fell on the floor. But the rest of their vision is blocked. So there's so many different kinds of visual impairment and blindness because of different diseases. Everybody's blindness is unique to them. And so I think it's important for people to know that. That's kind of a myth that they're all the same. And also in regard to Braille, really a very small percentage of blind people read Braille. The majority of people go blind in later in life. So, it's hard for us to learn new languages when we're older. And also we just don't have a really robust Braille education in our education system. It hasn't been mandated for school districts to teach that. And with all our digital technology, a lot of people will use digital tools instead of learning Braille. But there's certainly a large Braille contingent in people who are like, this is literacy, so we need to keep teaching it. That's my myth busting of the day.
I love that. I love that. Like many other disabilities, blindness is not one that is, easy to recognize. There's a lot of disabilities that we can't see easily. Pun intended, not really pun intended, but it's not something like, right, there's different levels. different needs. And you can say, if you learn, if you become blind for whatever reason older in life, you're not going to learn something, you know. I mean, some people might, but it's easier if you are born blind or, you know, it's very young, then you have that learning curve for Braille.
I think that learning curve goes across to language access as well. If you come to another country later in life, it's a lot harder to learn another language. And so we need to have the, you know, give grace for that. And I heard also too that a lot of people who, when they were younger, they came to America, they learned English, but as they get older and they get dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that, they forget English and they revert back to their native language. So that's important too.
Yeah, it's, I love what you said. It's all about giving grace, right? It's not about understanding why the other person needs the service. It's about accepting that they do and figure out a way to support them. Yeah. It's really not our jobs to figure out if it's right or wrong that they speak English or they don't speak English. That's not the point. It's that you need the support and we're here to support, especially in healthcare. We are here in the business of saving lives and helping people live the best possible lives. And that includes understanding their meds, being able to get them and answer their questions. And like you said, a lot of issues that we have is treatment adherence. And that includes not being able to understand your medication, how to take it and when to take it and things like that. So it's not only the responsibility of the provider to explain that, but also pharmacists to provide that information in an easily and accessible way.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you so much for joining me today. Any final words that you would like to share with the audience?
I don't know, if you're in the pharmacy industry or if you are a case manager, you know, and want to learn more about scriptability solutions, please, you know, check out Envision America. There's also other solutions out there. CVS has an Audible label. And I'm sure there's other ones out there too. But advocate, you know, advocacy is so essential. So
I love that. Thank you so much, Charlotte, for having you here, for coming, spending some time with us. Make sure you follow Charlotte and Envision America on LinkedIn and, you know, connect with her if you have any more questions or want to learn a little bit more. And as always, thank you so much. My name is Joanna Tudela, and I am your strategic partner for Multicultural Patient Center Care. We will see you on the next episode.